Well, I guess if you're in New York or New Jersey and you're a fan of the New York Football Giants, the sun technically still came up and technically still shined today. But that's about where the good news ends around here. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and former New York Giant Chris Canty. And Chris, I don't know what that was last night that we watched. Like, the Washington Football Team and the New York Giants played a game, but in likening it to the Fast and Furious franchise, it was entertaining. But I am under no sort of guise that it was good, what we watched last night.
So what you're saying is if that game was a movie, it ain't winning no Academy Awards. That's
no.
Where you're taking it.
It might do some box office numbers, Chris, but it ain't winning a damn thing.
No, listen, man, it was a highly entertaining game, back and forth. I mean, your heart is really just dancing on your tongue at that point because you didn't know which way it was going to go, and it just feels like that was a game that my New York Football Giants snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. Like, I mean, it feels like down the stretch they made every play that you can't make if you're trying to put a game away in the National Football League, and it's just – it's maddening because this team seemed like they dominated for the most part throughout the entirety of that ball game. I mean, I was watching the first half and it felt like the Giants won the first half, yet you look up at the scoreboard and they're down 4 points. I mean, that's kind of how the second half went for the Giants. And I felt like with 5 minutes left, 6 point lead, Taylor Heineke and the Washington Football Team having to drive the length of the field, that this Giants defense was going to be able to come up with the stop. And not only did they blow that opportunity, they had another opportunity at the end of the game with 2 minutes left, and they still couldn't stop Taylor Heineke and the Washington Football Team offense from being able to set up the go-ahead field goal. Mike, I got to tell you, as a Giants fan, as a former Giant, as an alum, that was a heartbreaker. That might be the most heartbreaking loss I've felt from the Giants since that DeSean Jackson 2010 Miracle at the Meadowlands 2 loss. Like, that's right up there in terms of the all-time worst losses for the New York Giants.
And losses that come down to special teams for a head coach that was the special teams coordinator at his last stop in New England. And we have one stat. You talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I have the stat that will crystallize that. In a way, very few things can in this life. But right now, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because I got to hear what Joe Judge has to say after this. Because you just mentioned that was a sloppy football team situationally, and when it came to penalties, when it came to discipline, when it came to all the things that you would expect from a Joe Judge coach team based on everything we've heard about the culture and all of that stuff. So this was Joe Judge, the Giants head coach, at their presser after the game, talking about the pressure that this team and him are under.
Guys, we all get paid pretty well. Pressure's part of the job, right? I mean, my son's playing high school football right now. He didn't quite have that pressure because he's out there playing for fun. Every coach and every player were paid very well at this level. It's the ultimate level of competition. It's the ultimate team sport. There's pressure for all of us. We can handle that. We prepare to handle that. We talk a lot throughout our team building and our leadership building that when things like this happen, we respond the right way as a team.
So, Chris, just to be clear, in a game where after the fact we had one of the wide receivers in Kadarius Toney posting on his Instagram appearing to not be happy and not be thrilled with the way he's being used 2 games in. And we had Daniel Jones having to address what people thought was sideline beef between him and Kenny Golladay. Like, that does not seem like a team that is dealing with the pressure well, despite whatever their paychecks say.
No, they're not buttoned up right now. And, I mean, that's encapsulated in Dexter Lawrence jumping off sides and giving Dustin Hopkins a mulligan to kick another field goal 5 yards closer. Like, in that situation, those types of things can't happen. And you mentioned Darius Slayton dropping that pass that they had with 6:22 left in the fourth quarter that would have put them up 10 points. Like, you got to come up with those plays. Like, for all the criticism that folks have had for Jason Garrett today about, you know, coaching not to lose rather than coaching to win, I mean, after they picked up that first down, that was Jason Garrett going for it in plus territory trying to take a shot. And Landon Collins took the bait. He drove up on the shallow route. Darius Slayton was all alone, and that's a play that he's got to come up with. But we've talked about it before. I mean, Joe Judge wanted to fashion himself as this disciplinarian, as somebody that makes sure that his team doesn't make those critical mistakes in those phases of the game at the most inopportune times in the game. And yet it felt like last night the Giants made all of the mistakes that get you beat. Jumping offsides when the kicker's in the fringe of his field goal range, all of the unforced errors, the coverage mishaps that the Giants secondary had down the stretch, C.J. Board and the holding call, as ticky-tack as it may be in the first half on that Daniel Jones touchdown run, that was something that took 4 points off the board. Like, you name it, the Giants made those mistakes, and they left that door cracked open, and credit to Taylor Heineke and that Washington football team offense, they walked right through it.
Yeah, the fact that earlier you said they couldn't stop the Taylor Heineke Washington football team offense, that rings true, because this team, and we heard it in the broadcast last night, has been pretty open about their desire, and we talked to John Keim about this yesterday, our Washington football team reporter, that Washington wanted to get this roster set and then pop a QB in there. Like, Taylor is not the dude. And that leads us to this, because everything we've talked about leads to this stat that, to me, crystallizes everything for just how inept in certain situations the Giants were, despite largely being the better team last night. The Giants had 7 scoring drives and 0 turnovers last night in their game against the Washington football team. Teams in that situation are now, over the past 20 years, 222-4. Like, Chris, people do not
come
lose
on,
those
man.
Games.
You can't be serious. 222-4 in the last 20 years. That really is unbelievable, man. But I think that speaks to exactly where this franchise is, and Joe Judge in particular, with their program building. Like, this is a team that hasn't been able to figure out how to put together a culture that's going to lead to sustained success. And they've cycled through head coaches. This is the 4th year of the Dave Gettleman era, and yet they still can't figure out how to put games away like we had last night, a game that they were in large part in control in the second half of that game. I don't understand how they let that one get away from them, especially when you saw some of the things that the defense allowed to happen. I mean, Taylor Heineke, with 4 minutes and 50 seconds left, I mean, he's got to go 75 yards. He does it in 2 plays, Mike. 2 plays. They want a real route to J.D. McKissick. Tate Crowder's in man coverage. They hit him for 56. And then Ricky Seals-Jones in the back of the end zone on the next play for a touchdown. Like, that's not something that can happen. The secondary is supposed to be the strength of this defensive unit. And they just gave it away to Taylor Heineke. I mean, that's got to be a sinking feeling if you're the Giants, especially with how well Daniel Jones plays. Because that's the part in this that gets lost, Mike. Daniel Jones played a hell of a game last night.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I'll take it a step further, Chris. The offensive line was not the reason they lost that game last night.
No.
Like, it's an easy place to go, but especially in the second half of that game. I mean, Washington had to start sending extra bodies. That vaunted 4-man rush full of first-rounders that we had heard about, they weren't getting home anywhere on that. And so, Chris, I think this is, and we talked about this coming off week 1 for the Giants. This, to me, is the most frustrating part if you were a fan of this team, or if you're a player in that locker room, is it's not any one thing right now. If it were just the offensive line or just Daniel Jones, you can put lipstick on a pig and find ways to compensate for those if you've got strengths in other places here. But right now, everyone seems to be finding spots to falter here. The penalties, the defense, the secondary. Sometimes it is the O-line, wherever it is, and that's hard to fix, and that is the thing that's got to fall back. I mean, I know we're going to talk about Jason Garrett if it goes poorly next week against Atlanta, Chris, mm-hmm. but that's a Joe Judge-level problem if you've got a team in all these different rooms playing that inconsistently.
Well, doesn't the buck stop with Joe Judge? I mean, we talk about Jason Garrett. You can talk about Patrick Graham and why he played so soft, those vanilla coverages at the end. But, I mean, ultimately, this all falls under the purview of the head coach. And Joe Judge is this guy that wants to be, you know, a disciplinarian. He's a guy that wants to be no-nonsense. That's how he wants to be viewed. We saw how he handled Golden Tate last year, how he handled Mark Colombo. He doesn't have a problem getting into his players' face. He doesn't have a problem disciplining his players in practice. But the reason why he does all of those things is so they don't make those mistakes. Like, the reason why he's emulating Bill Belichick up in Foxborough is because Bill Belichick teams, those are teams that are known not to beat themselves with the mistakes, with the miscues. And yet, the Giants continue to do those things, and we're talking about Joe Judge being in year 2. Like, those are the things that are supposed to go away with the laps that the Giants are running at practice. But they're not. He's not coaching that out of him. He's not coaching a team that's disciplined and a team that can execute down the stretch. So, I mean, I think it's fair at this point to question the methodology of Joe Judge when it comes to being able to establish this program and instill that level of discipline that's going to lead to this team being able to win football games. So I think, you know, as this thing unfolds for the New York Giants, they better hope that they can get this thing back on track, because this is their fifth consecutive 0-2 start. And the last four seasons that the Giants started 0-2, they ended up with double-digit loss seasons. So I'm sure that ownership is looking at this saying, you guys got to get it turned around or major changes are going to be on the horizon.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you want to get in touch with us on the Goodyear hotline, you can also tweet us at Mike Golic Jr., at ChrisCanty99 on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed here. We had someone, A.J. Hester, tweeted in, as we mentioned, teams with seven scoring drives and zero turnovers like the Giants had are 222-4 in the last 20 seasons. And A.J. asks, how many of those are the Giants? You mentioned the miracle at the Meadowlands. Oh. That makes me wonder if that was one of those. But
Oh, dear God.
We'll try and get answers to that question. But coming up next, we'll also get you the answer to what happens next. Where do the New York Giants go from here for the rest of the 2021 season? That's coming up next. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Boy, oh boy, do we have a very, very sad answer to one of the most damning stats about the New York Giants that we just read you. Again, the Giants lost last night in dramatic fashion to the Washington football team on Thursday Night Football. We'll get you an update on that here in a second. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty here. But before we get to that update, and again, there's so much sad in what we're talking about right now, but this update that we've got for you might take the cake here. Before we get to that, though, we'll head to the Goodyear hotline to welcome in Dan Duggan with us now, Giants reporter for The Athletic. And, Dan, I'm going to give you dealer's choice on this because it was an ugly football game last night. And so I will say, from the Giants' perspective, we saw a lot of mistakes. We saw critical errors in situation. What was the low point for you last night in what you saw from this Giants team?
Oh, yeah, where to begin? I mean, I think you could definitely single out a bunch of different, you know, individual plays that certainly cost them. But I think if you take a little bit of a step back, I think it's just the defensive performance in general. Because, I mean, listen, coming into this season, I think, you know, there were a lot of questions about the offense, the offensive line, and that unit performed pretty well last night against a good defense. You did not expect to get kind of carved up like they did by Taylor Heinicke. They kept being put in positions with the lead and not being able to hold it. So, yeah, sure, there was a drop pass and there was the, you know, kind of mind-numbing offsides on the field goal at the end, but they really shouldn't have been in that position if their defense played up to the standards that everyone had for it coming into the season based on what they did last year. But, yeah, these first two games have been pretty discouraging on that front. You figure they've gone against Teddy Bridgewater and Taylor Heinicke and have really not been able to stop them at all. So that's certainly alarming.
Yeah, Dan, I'm with you. I think the defense is the main culprit in last night's loss. But I got to ask you this question, man, because it's maddening to me. In that possession that the Giants had after the interception, they only take 16 seconds off the clock. They don't move the football. They end up settling for a field goal. Why in that sequence of plays did Jason Garrett not go with the read option that they'd had so much success with earlier in the game? I mean, Daniel Jones was essentially carving him up on read option plays. I want to say he had 8 or 9 rush attempts for 95 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown was on a draw, but most of the damage that he did with his legs was on the read option. Why didn't they go to the read option in that situation?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, you know, part of the blame falls on Joe Judge, too, because, I mean, he certainly kind of set the tone. And one thing we've seen from him, he's a very conservative head coach. So I feel like they got that ball back. They're in field goal range. And Joe has even said this postgame and again today that it sounds like basically their number one priority was make Washington use timeouts. Like, hey, if we pick up a first down, if we score a touchdown, great. But make Washington use the timeouts. I mean, 16 seconds, like you said, ticked off the clock. They only have to use 2 of the 3 timeouts. And you kick the field goal. But it just felt like they were playing right there so conservatively, worried about, I don't know, you know, interception or something bad happening. But like you said, even just run a zone read. And, you know, they had success with that, Jones, getting outside, making big plays, whereas trying to pound up the middle twice with Saquon, you know, outside that one run he had, he really didn't have much success last night. So that wasn't a very high percentage, you know, play call to pick up a first down, if that's what your goal was. But it really felt like they were just trying to play it safe. You know, they threw it on third down, obviously, and couldn't connect. But Come out there on first down and do a play action. You might get a touchdown and your game's probably over at that point. But just super conservative, and obviously came back to bite them.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Dan Duggan, Giants reporter for The Athletic on the Goodyear Hotline. And Dan, now for where we go from here, because the Giants are 0-2 again, another season of this kind of slow start, and we kind of saw some signs last night. Kenny Golladay getting heated on the sideline, Kadarius Toney with the Instagram post that he later took down, showing some frustration here. Are we nearing lose the locker room territory for a coach that has preached so much about culture?
I mean, it certainly isn't headed in the right direction because, yeah, we're talking two games in. You got a rookie who basically hasn't practiced since the draft, is already griping about his role 2 weeks in. That's a little alarming. The Kenny Golladay thing, I don't have a huge problem with guys. It's emotional, kind of lost his cool, seems like, it's kind of water under the bridge. But still like to see him make some more plays. I have more of a problem with that. I mean, he has a chance to make plays, and he didn't. So I don't know what he's yelling about, but he had eight targets and only, caught three of them 30-something yards. So that's probably more concerning. But, no, I mean, your point about the locker room, I mean, last year you thought, it could be a problem where, Judge came in, very strict disciplinarian, they started 0-5, 1-7, and he didn't lose the locker room. So you kind of felt like, all right, they got this culture thing down, now they're going to come out, sort of hit the ground running, and we circle right back where we were a year ago. And there is more kind of public, discontent kind of oozing out. I mean, Jabril Peppers wasn't happy with his role in week one. He played more last night, still didn't play very well. I think, listen, the only way to really have a good culture is to win. And this team has done a lot of losing. And as good of a leader as Joe Judge might be, he can't outlead the scoreboard. So if they don't start getting some wins together, I definitely think you have to worry about it, kind of coming apart. Because that's just sort of what happens when teams lose over and over.
Dan, for the most part, I thought the offense upheld their end of the bargain. But yet, even saying that, we find things to be critical of Jason Garrett about. And we had our very own Jordan Renan on the show earlier this week, and he floated the possibility that if this thing continues to go off the rails, if the Giants don't find a way to win games, that Jason Garrett's job security might be in question. Could you see a scenario where the Giants decide that they're going to move on from Jason Garrett midseason?
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, obviously it's a results business, and the offense wasn't very good last year, so it's not good again this year. I mean, I think all options on the table. I would look at that as just say, you had all of last season to evaluate. Why would you bring him back if it's that tenuous that after, six bad games, you're going to pull the plug on him? Why did you do it in January when you could have brought in some, someone who worked with Sean McVay, or, that was kind of the trend, obviously, a couple of years ago, get some young, innovative mind in here instead of Jason Garrett, who was kind of a bland hire and certainly didn't inspire much in his first year. So, yeah, listen, could they make a change during the season? Sure. I think that would be an even bigger admission of how badly they bought this offseason because, again, you had the opportunity. You ranked 31st in scoring last year. It didn't seem like, oh, wow, the schemes are brilliant. It's just the players. So they kind of said, let's just upgrade the weapons, keep everything else the same. The offense was better last night. So I think, that bought Jason maybe a little bit of time. But, yeah, I just think you're in a bad spot if you're going week to week with the offensive coordinator job in year two. I mean, I think you should kind of have a little more conviction. And I'm certainly not – I'm also not someone who believes Freddie Kitchens is like the savior in waiting if he would be the guy to replace Jason Garrett. So they need to put a lot more performances like last night together because I think otherwise the offense just really isn't in a great spot.
Follow him on Twitter at DDuggan21. Dan, we appreciate the time today, man.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks, guys.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, Giants fans, I will offer you a little bit of relief because on days like today, it's always great to be reminded that it can always be worse. We'll give you that and the one thing that actually became crystal clear after last night's game. That's next. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Before we head to the NFL's East Division that actually has some competent football being played here and not the Fast and Furious franchise that's going on over here in the NFC East. Chris, we were talking before about this stat that summed up the Giants' loss last night on Thursday Night Football. The New York Giants had 7 scoring drives and 0 turnovers on Thursday night. Teams in that situation in the last 20 years, 222-4. And so people asked, who are the other 3 teams that did it? And we had serious fears that Chris Canty, who had a great NFL career, is a Super Bowl champion, like this is not an indictment on Chris Canty. He just happened to be there for a really bad moment with the Giants that got a name and the miracle at the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
We thought that game might be on there.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that wasn't the Chris Canty game that was on there. Now, this is the good news for Giants fans is you weren't on there twice. That distinction belongs to a team we should have thought of sooner, the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons had 8 scoring drives and no turnovers in week 2 of 2020 against the Cowboys. You guys remember that dumpster fire of a game.
Yep.
They also had 7 scoring drives with no turnovers in week 4 of 2018 against the Bengals. But it was the Baltimore Ravens that had it 7 times in week 13 of 2014 against the Chargers that were sitting around and breaking. Chris goes, oh, bleep, I was in that game.
I was in that game. And let me tell you this, Mike, that makes your Thanksgiving leftovers taste terrible. When you have that kind of lead, when you have that kind of productivity on the offensive side, and the defense can't close it out, man. That absolutely sucks, man. And to make it all worse, all your family's in town because it's the holidays, and so it's just one of those situations where everybody is looking at you, especially knowing that I was on the defensive side of the ball, and saying, hey, bro, why are you going to let Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen just keep going off on y'all like that? But that was the case. It felt like it was Keenan Allen's coming out party in that one game. That dude balled, Phillip Rivers balled, and ultimately we blew a golden opportunity.
It just, like, it's bad timing, too, on the day that you guys can't see us on ESPN Plus right now, but I'm looking Chris Canty in our Zoom here, and he's got the Ravens shirt on. Very proud of his Baltimore Ravens, very proud of his time there, but this was just not a stat we were expecting to find it at.
No, not at all, not at all. I would have sworn 7 ways to Sunday that it would have been miracle at the Meadowlands, too, but then I realized that Eli Manning had a turnover in that ball game, so that doesn't count.
See, you know what? Again, Giants fans, it could be worse. You could be the Falcons on that list twice in the last 4 seasons.
No lead is safe with the Atlanta Falcons. We should have learned that after Super Bowl 51 when they were up 28-3 against the Patriots. No lead safe with the Falcons. That's how bad that franchise is at holding on to a game.
As you say, if you're ever putting any part of your happiness and results coming from the Falcons, you have made serious mistakes and you need to seek therapy. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear, more driven. Chris, I will say the one thing that became crystal clear in the game last night, and there was not a lot, it was a muddy picture. If the Dallas Cowboys find a way to mess up winning the NFC East this year, you need to burn it all to the ground because there is no chance that anything we saw on that field last night should be even close to competing with them.
No, you're absolutely right, man. And even if the Dallas Cowboys lose to the Chargers this week and go down 0-2, as much as the numbers would suggest that a team's playoff chances kind of dwindle if you start 0-2, the Dallas Cowboys should have no problem in this division, Mike. And the biggest reason why is the quarterback and the offense. Like, I feel like that's the only known quantity in this division. Like, everybody came into this year saying the Dallas Cowboys offense and the Washington football team defense, those are the two strongest units in this division. And I got to tell you, I'm not impressed with the Washington football team defense at all. I mean, we had John Kimo yesterday, and he talked about how undisciplined they were and how immature they were in some areas. And all of that played out yesterday. Like, I mean, Taylor Heinicke bailed them out. But, I mean, that defense, in terms of maintaining their gap integrity with that defensive front in the run game and the pass game, that was non-existent. I mean, Jack Del Rio couldn't get pressure with his front four. He's dialing up blitzes. And then you got guys jumping out of gaps and blocking unblocked blitzers trying to get to the quarterback. Like, it is insane to me. And then the back end of that defense is absolutely atrocious. I mean, the cornerbacks are a problem, no doubt. And we knew that against from watching them the week earlier against the Chargers. I mean, last night, William Jackson, Ben St. Juice, and Kendall Fuller, they just took turns getting cooked or committing penalties and giving the Giants first downs. But when they weren't doing that, Landon Collins was biting on shallow routes and letting receivers from the New York Giants get behind the defense. That Darius Slayton drop touchdown, that was on Landon Collins. So, I mean, there are some serious issues when it comes to the Washington football team defense. And to your point, if the Dallas Cowboys can't take control of this division and win the NFC East crown this year, then Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones need to blow the whole damn thing up.
Yep, that'll be the biggest indictment of that team because we saw two extremely flawed football teams last night going at it there. That was like a bar fight between two drunks. Like, they're there at the end of the night. Like, those guys both on their best day might have something for you, but not here and not right now.
Mike, let me ask you this question. Right now, today, don't you kind of feel like the Eagles are the second best team in the division? I want to see more from them. But based on what we've seen in the early goings of the season, like, I feel like the Eagles can hang their hat on their offensive line and their defensive line. Like, I feel like those two groups on that team should be enough to allow Jalen Hurts and the other young pieces on that team to develop and for this team to be in position in December to contend for a playoff spot. I feel like that's where the Eagles are at right now. Like, they look a lot more buttoned up than what we saw from the football team last night.
Yeah, if they can manage to stay healthy, and that's been an issue in the trenches for them in the last couple of seasons, if they can stay healthy, that's the second – I mean, that's probably top to bottom. I won't even say second. That's probably the most consistent team in the division. Like, it's built to have that in a way that Dallas isn't defensively right now, especially with DeMarcus Lawrence out. They're not the most talented, but they could absolutely be the most consistent. I'm with you. I think that team right now, you look up, and that defense especially, if they keep raising hell with Fletcher Cox and them boys up front, it's going to be a problem. So that's – the NFC East right now. The Cowboys got to hold on to this thing tight. Coming up next, though, we will head to the AFC East this weekend and check in on two MVP candidates and how they bounce back after a rough week one. We'll get to that after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, guys, did you hit the productivity wall after a big lunch? Well, let 5-Hour Energy Shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. They got zero sugar and a convenient portable size. It's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. Go to 5hourenergy.com to find over 15 flavors to choose from. You got flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for everyone. But if you're out and about, remember, you can always pick up a 5-Hour Energy shot right at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. Let's check in on some MVP hopefuls next on ESPN Radio. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Sad Giants fans, if you need to come and just unburden yourself with us here on Canty and Golic Jr., where we're presented by Progressive Insurance, because Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty here, we had to give our producer, Devin Kane, who is a Giant, like, all of our producers are either Giants or Eagles fans, which means there's a fair amount of misery around here, Chris. And I felt like we had to have a therapy moment with Devin earlier today.
Yeah, we did, and we advised him to stay away from all sharp objects for the next 48 hours. I feel like that's something that we could apply to all Giants fans because of how heartbreaking that loss was last night. I mean, that's as bad as it gets, Mike. I mean, there was really no reason for them to lose that game, and Dexter Lawrence's comments today, just saying that he still doesn't believe he jumped offsides. Even if you don't think you were offsides, that's what the refs called. But I just think, bigger picture, have a little bit of awareness and just know that that's not what the fans or the media wants to hear right now. Because right now in the record books, that game still counts as a nail for the Giants, and you're a big reason why they lost that game.
Yeah, Chris, we talked about this before with the Kadarius Toney stuff, with the Kenny Gallant, like, all of those things where it sounds like leaking out, like it's eye issues here. Like, again, like, you want to talk about culture. Culture is public accountability, saying, all right, I'm going to show everybody this starts with me. And for Dexter Lawrence, even if you don't think you were offsides, it's so easy to help set a tone, if that's the culture of your building, to say, hey, listen, I got to be better in that situation here. Our team made mistakes, but that was me in a critical moment. I've got to be better for the team here. And if that, like, those are the best cultures I've been around. And that's the top down, where I know when a coach walks into a meeting, if he makes a mistake, he's going to hold himself accountable. And I know the guys in my room here, if I'm sitting in an offensive line room with the clicker and I'm short in helping someone in protection here, and then I try and pass that off of my buddy, why is he ever going to be accountable to that room? Like, that's, to me, one of the most poisonous things you can do as a team, is not have guys willing to stand up and pull the thumb.
Oh, no question about it, Mike. When you got a bunch of guys in the locker room that are in it for self and just want to engage and major in CYA, that's not going to lead to the team having any level of success. Like, that's just going to be a bunch of backbiting, a bunch of splintering, and you got to wonder where that leaves Joe Judge, Dave Gettleman, and Daniel Jones, because those are the people that are going to take the brunt of all the criticism directed toward the New York Football Giants. So, yeah, it's not good, everything that's coming out after the game and some of the stuff that the players are saying, and quite frankly, some of the excuses and explanations that we're hearing from the coaches too. So, Yeah, I don't like anything that's going on with the Giants right now, and we'll have plenty of time to bag on them, but they deserve it after what they did last night.
They do indeed. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. Chris, let's move on to the other East here, because I think we've got some interesting games this weekend when it comes to guys we had big expectations for to start the year. Looking at the Bills and the Ravens specifically, big games this weekend for two guys that we thought would be MVP candidates. Lamar's got one, and Josh Allen almost had one last year. The Bills are on the road against the Dolphins, and the Chiefs are taking on the Ravens here. Chris, who are you more concerned about heading into this weekend between those two guys here? Who do we got to see something from?
I think we got to see something from Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And right now, they're 0-for when it comes to trying to beat Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, they're 0-2 at home, and they lost one in Arrowhead. So they're going to have to figure out how to get over that hump if they're truly going to be a contender in the AFC anytime soon. And I know that Lamar is shorthanded. They're on a short week because they had the Monday night game. But nobody wants to hear those excuses around Baltimore as to why they can't be competitive and why they can't find a way to win against this specific opponent. The one thing I will say, though, from a matchup standpoint, you know that no lead is safe with the Kansas City Chiefs. And they proved that last week against the Browns. With the depleted Ravens secondary and knowing that they don't really have a way to be able to get pressure on Pat Mahomes with just a four-man rush, Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, is going to be in a bit of a bind in that Sunday night game. So Lamar Jackson is going to have to go out there and play some hero ball if the Ravens are going to have any chance at being able to get something done. But I think that's the team this weekend between them and the Bills that has to have the most urgency, just because when you look at the division that they play in, you're talking about two other teams being in that division that were in the playoffs a year ago as well. So scary hours for the Baltimore Ravens right now.
Yeah, I'd agree. And, God, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs from last week. What have we seen? A bunch of reps of Chris Jones lining up at that five technique out at defensive end. And after what we saw from Baltimore, buddy.
Yeah, that ain't great, Mike.
That might not go well for you. I'm with you here. The interesting part about the Bills is we know, like I called them it was the Air Raid Bills last year. It was kind of like the Dallas Cowboys, where they've become sort of a Big 12 offense in the NFL. They lead on Josh Allen, but man, 51 pass attempts in week one here. Going up against the Dolphins secondary, that's the strength of the team. I'll be interested to see if Devin Singletary, that run game, Zach Moss there, if that can start to be a unit that introduces, like, again, we talked about this balance in week one with the Cowboys matchup, where I don't need a 50-50 split of run pass in the game, but damn, if you're looking at that front for the Miami Dolphins and saying that back end is the one we want to test, I think you might be on something that, you know, they may test for around the league here. This might be a spot where you mix in a little bit more in the middle.
Yeah, I feel like that's what the Bills need to do. They need to have a little more balance on the offensive end, if for no other reason to try to alleviate some pressure on the passing game, maybe get some favorable looks. Because you're right, they play basketball on grass with their offense, and with their receiving core, it's hard to argue with that, right? I mean, you look at those skill positions. They got Stephon Diggs, who's arguably the best receiver in the National Football League. They got Emmanuel Sanders. They got Gabriel Davis. They got Cole Beasley in the slot. So, I mean, you've got weapons to be able to spray the ball all over the field, but that's not translating into your offense being able to have success against the better defensive groups. And one of the things that we saw against the Steelers last week is that they were able to affect the passer with just a four-man rush. And you saw, like, teams are going to go nickel and dime, match personnel, because you're not threatening them with the run game, and then they're going to tee off on Josh Allen. So, you know, their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, is going to have to find a way to alleviate some of the pressure in the passing game on your quarterback in order for them to be more effective. Because last week, they tried to throw the ball 20 times on first down, and on those attempts, they averaged 4.5 yards per. And the NFL average was 7.9. per on passing attempts on first down. So clearly not effective with the game plan that they tried to employ. They're going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure out a better way to attack this Dolphins defense.
And for that Bills defensive front on the other side, we talked about some of those young pass rushers here. It's a young Miami Dolphins offensive line that we know has had some parts moved around because of injury. Austin Jackson built time on the COVID list. So prime opportunity for that unit to start getting some things going for them here. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to hit us up. Coming up next, though, it's only week two of the NFL season, but we already have questions that need answers. We'll give them to you next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.